You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hey, you ready? You grab that right there.
My new walk-up music.
Are you ready? Oh, is you ready? Ready? You say you ready? Oh, whole squad ready? Ready? Is you ready? Oh, are you ready? Ready? Is you ready? Whole squad ready? We came here to see Jeff. What you got? Oh.
8:50 on a Monday. So I'm rolling around yesterday. This is 22nd day of October, by the way, in case you don't know. What is tomorrow? 35 years? October 23rd, the day the barracks were attacked.
They don't want us to make it, so it's time to take it.
The, so, 83 to 2017 and 18 is 35 years. Wow. I was in OCS when that happened. Yep. Anyway, the 22nd day of October. So yesterday, I'm working in the yard, right? I'm fighting with the sprinklers, trying to get that right. I get an email, "Hello, Mac," and it's entitled India 39 I Company, Getland's Corner. That's the title of the email. "Hello, Mac. My uncle, PFC Frank H. Thomas, was one of Jack Riley's Marines as a member of his squad. He was killed in action on March 30th, 1967, in the Battle of Getland's Corner at the age of 19. I have corresponded with Jack from time to time over the past few years, but I've never met him. It was very nice for our family to hear Jack's account of the battle. I would like to thank you for having him on your show. Keep up the great job, Frank Reynolds," named after my uncle. And Frank includes a picture of his uncle, good-looking Marine in his dress blues. And then the following telegram. This is delivered to Ms. Mildred A. Wadler, 621 Southeast 6th Terrace, Pompano Beach, Florida. And this is a Western Union telegram. "I deeply regret to inform that your son, Private First Class Frank H. Thomas, Jr., USMC, died 30 March, 67, in the vicinity of Quang Tri, Republic of Vietnam. He sustained fragmentation wounds to the body from a hostile mortar while in a defensive position. His remains will be prepared, encased, and shipped at no expense to you, accompanied by an escort, either to a funeral home or to a national cemetery selected by you. In addition, you will be reimbursed an amount not to exceed $300, now this is the second page, dollars towards funeral and internment expenses if internment is in a private cemetery, $150 if remains are consigned to a funeral home prior to internment in a national cemetery, or $75 if remains are consigned directly to the National Cemetery. Please wire collect Headquarters Marine Corps your desires in this respect, indicating the name and address of the funeral home or the National Cemetery to which you wish the remains sent, and whether or not you desire an escort. The Barracanas National Cemetery, Pensacola, Florida, is the nearest you home." Should be your. "Letter will follow concerning circumstances of death, I wish to assure you of every, and this is page 3, possible assistance and to extend the heartfelt condolences of the Marine Corps in your bereavement. Wallace M. Green, Jr., General, USMC, Commandant of the Marine Corps. So that's what that telegram looked like. I've never seen one in its entirety, believe it or not. The majority of the telegram deals with the financial aspects of where you want them and what you'll be reimbursed for. A paragraph at the start, where he died, how he died, the boilerplate about what you'll be reimbursed for, and a final paragraph from the Commandant of the Marine Corps at the time, General Wallace Green, about the heartfelt condolences of the Marine Corps. So, I mean, I got that out of the blue yesterday. And, one of the things we've talked about on this program before has been, when do we stop doing sending telegrams and start doing CAICO calls? Well, it had to be around 1968-69 because Tim Lynch, who was on the program last week, I think, his uncle was doing them, I want to say 1968-69, after he came back from Vietnam, and did over 100 of them up in upstate New York, up until the point he said he couldn't do them anymore and asked to be sent back to Vietnam. No, asked to be taken off of recruiting duty. And they said, well, we can take you off, but we have to send you back to Vietnam. He said, no problem. Yeah. Gives you how much people wanted to get away from that. But, anyway, that was from Frank Reynolds, named after his uncle. And, wow. Yeah, so, I mean, it's out of the blue yesterday. Nobody has to thank me for interviewing guys like, Jack Riley. It's, one of the great privileges of my life. I've got a book from a good friend of mine, Jess Humphreys. You've heard his uncle, Cal Humphrey. Jess is Cal's nephew. Jess's dad was a lieutenant on Iwo Jima, his uncle a PFC on Iwo Jima, and both survived the battle. He sent me a book, as he does on occasion. Went and heard an author, and then just sent me this book. It's called On Desperate Ground, The 7th Marine at the Reservoir, The Korean War's Greatest Battle, written by a guy named Hampton Sides. I remember the book Ghost Soldiers. I don't remember the book Kingdom of Ice. He's written both of them. From the New York Times best-selling author of Ghost Soldiers and Kingdom of Ice, a chronicle of the extraordinary feats of heroism by Marines called on to do the impossible during the greatest battle of the Korean War. And just got it signed for me. Kind of interesting. This thing stuck in my head when I read it last night. I don't know if it's the foreword or whatnot. I don't know. It's just something that he wrote before the contents on Desperate Man. There's a prologue to it. All right, maybe it is the foreword without a title, without any label on it. Sun Tzu said, in battle, there are 9 kinds of situations, 9 kinds of ground. The final and the most distressing type is a situation in which one's army can be saved from destruction only by fighting without delay. It is a place with no shelter and no possibility of easy retreat. If met by the enemy, an army has no alternative but to surrender or fight its way out of a predicament. Sun Tzu calls this desperate ground. So the book is called On Desperate Ground. So I'm anxious to read it. Here's one of the things I'm anxious to learn about. I'm interested to know, why is the Marine Corps' most fabled, one of the most fabled generals in the Marine Corps, guarding the MSR as the division does a movement to contact against the Chinese? Chesty Puller is assigned to guard the MSR. Yeah. Pretty odd. So, anyway, I'm anxious to see what he has to say about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Gunner joins us here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.